Our scripture reading for today is from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So you may have been surprised that I didn't read the story or ask the liturgist to read the story of Jesus in the wilderness. We know that story, and you may wonder what this one has to do with Lent. So I'll tell you. You know, Lent, this is a very Lentish sort of a day. All kinds of things are just sort of, you know, different. And it may feel like we're in Lent all the time right now, because Lent is a time when we think about, it's not a bright, happy time. It's a much more somber, reflective time, and a time for penitence and spiritual discipline. And somehow it seems like that's where we are, and that's where we've been for a while. I clearly remember that in 2020, what we gave up for Lent was Lent. I was at Zia then, and we were planning a combined Lent Holy Week deal with a couple of other churches. We were gonna combine the choirs and work on music together, and have Holy Thursday at one church and Good Friday at another church, and Easter Vigil at another one, and Sunrise at another one, and then all be in our home churches for Easter. And it was going to be great. We had done it before, and this was even going to be bigger and better. And of course, it all got shut down. Sometimes it feels like we're just giving up a lot without really meaning to. But traditionally, that's what we do during Lent. Now, the idea of fasting during Lent sort of morphed into not eating meat on Fridays, which sort of morphed into, well, fish is okay, it's not really meat, so we can eat that, sort of morphed into fish fries. Now, I went to fish fry on Friday at St. John's, and I recommend that to you. You will not go away hungry, you will not feel like you're fasting. Also, next Friday is gonna be, the jug band is gonna be the music, but it wasn't a fat. I mean, there's fish. Okay, so that's our little Lenten nod to fasting. But there was plenty of it, and there was chicken, and there was French fries, and there were green beans, and there was coleslaw, and baked potatoes, and at least half a dozen desserts. This is not a fast. This is a feast. That was very good. But sometimes we do give up things, and sometimes we give up things that are really important to us. And sometimes we even give up things. I mean, fasting is giving up food, and food is necessary, right? You get really hungry. You, as June told us, if you do that too long, you die. And another thing that we do during Lent, and this is something that for me was introduced later as an idea, is to take on something, to take on a new spiritual discipline or build a new positive habit. Instead of taking away, you add something. And that can kind of feel like a burden. Okay, I'm already being crazy trying to do everything, and now you want me to add something else as a Lent discipline? I would like to suggest that in 2026, we choose to be kind to ourselves during Lent. Not jettisoning all the things that are traditional for Lent, but rather than depriving ourselves of pleasures, let's consider letting go of things that hold us down, that hold us back. It might be attitudes, judgment, resentment, superiority, whatever. We all know what our own weak spots are. It might be habits. Do we have any procrastinators in here? Yeah. Okay. Habits that are not helpful, maybe not actively harmful, and certainly not harmful to others, but maybe habits that are just not real helpful to ourselves. Binge on Netflix until 1 o'clock in the morning? Anybody do that? You know, maybe we don't need to do that. Maybe we can do something else with that time. And letting go of these things, letting go of things that we don't need in our lives. Visualize letting go. I'm holding on to this habit, this guilty habit that I have. Okay. Oh. Thank you for paying attention. Things are weird during Lent. That has never happened before. Okay. Yes, letting go of things that hold us down leaves us open to receive other things. It leaves us open, makes us available to receive God's gifts. And that's more along the lines of adding something. Now, what we heard from Paul's in Romans does not sound like any of that. What he's talking about is sin. Okay, so if repentance is a Lent discipline, then he is talking about that. It is indeed a spiritual discipline. And Paul talks about sin, and specifically he talks about the sin of Adam. Now, there's a lot of theological conversation about what the sin of Adam really was. It's been understood to be various things. Disobedience is clearly one of them. God said don't, and he did. Also, blaming others, blaming Eve, even blaming God for his sin. That could be another one. Wanting to be like God, because that was what the serpent promised. You eat this fruit, you're going to be like God. You're going to know all about good and evil. And of course, he ate it and he said, oops, now I know that I did something wrong. And there's other things too. But the idea is that sin, whatever it was, that original sin, that original break from perfection, is what has marred humankind from that point forward. It is a theological way of saying nobody is perfect. And so throughout history, sin has been seen as the cause of misery, which is true. But then the reverse also becomes current, and that is misery is caused by sin. Specifically, my misery is caused by my sin. There's a whole book in the Bible about that. It's called Job. He was a good man. He was a good husband. He was a good father. He was a good friend. He was a good citizen. Nobody would have said that he was a sinner until misfortune came his way. And then it was, oh, well, you must have done something wrong. Job didn't like that much. We don't like that much. We don't like being called a sinner when we have tried to live our lives the best way we know how. No, we're not perfect, but, and things happen. Bad things happen. It feels like a trap. And in fact, it is a trap. We're born into it. We can't escape. But what Paul has to say to us is there is a way out of that trap. Because Adam messed up for all of us, and Jesus fixed it for all of us. Paul talks about justification and righteousness in this passage, and he talks about it elsewhere in Romans. It's a major theme for him. Justification is becoming righteous. So what does it mean to be righteous? Sometimes, this is what it means to be righteous. You know, I thank you, God, that I am not like this tax collector. That's not the kind of righteousness that Paul's talking about. When you think of justification in typesetting terms, it means lined up. Most things that we read are either full justified, which means they're even on both margins, or they're left justified, which means that it's lined up on the left margin and kind of raggedy on the right side. So right justification means lined up on the right side, and now we're going to get metaphorical. Jesus gives us justification to align us correctly with God. That makes us righteous. Not that we're entirely sinless. Not that we are perfect morally or legally according to God's law. But we are made right with God. The justification puts us in right relationship with God. That's what righteousness is for Paul. That's what righteousness is for us. And that is our escape from the trap of original sin. However it's defined, it's real. There is sin in the world. There is evil in the world. And people suffer because of it. But Jesus came to give us a way out, to be justified, to be made right with God. And so this Lent, let us accept the grace of God and be kind to ourselves and give up our brokenness, however that manifests itself, however we can, and be open to receive God's gift of justification through Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.